Hey, so this morning we're going to see that Israel is on trial. And so we're going to be looking at that. And if you won't mind, open your Bible to Hosea chapter 4. I'm going to start out reading the first 9 verses. We're going to be going through 4 and 5 today. We tricked you last week, told you it was going to be more, but that was just to get you to read. So let's open our word and look at chapter 4 of Hosea. Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love and no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, and committing adultery. They break all bounds and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore, the land mourns and all who dwell in it languish. And also the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven and even the fish of the sea are taken away. Yet let no one contend and let none accuse. For with you this is my contention, O priest. You shall stumble by day, the prophet also shall stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law and your God, I also will forget your children. The more they increased, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They feed on the sin of my people. They are greedy for their iniquity. And it shall be like people, and it shall be like people, like priests. I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. And as we open your word this morning, Father, I pray that you will open our hearts. Let us hear what it is you have to say. Let us understand the things that you've written. Let the Holy Spirit be in us and fill us and know what you have called us to know. We ask all this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. So we're looking at this time when Israel is on trial. And God points out at the beginning that the controversy is with the people of Israel. And God will accuse them. He will bring evidence and then he will pronounce judgment on the people of Israel. Hosea begins here with a demand of the people. He says, hear the word of the Lord. Listen to what he has to say. And then God gives descriptions of himself here. He says, he is faithful. Remember in Deuteronomy 7, 1 through 9, I'll let you read that on your own. But listen to what verse 9 says when we come to that. Verse 9 says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. God tells Israel that when they came into the promised land, they were to avoid all of the foreign gods. They were to avoid the religions of the people. They were to reject the people's gods so that they would stay true to God. And God says in that way, they would know that he is God, that he is faithful, that he keeps covenant with his people to 1,000 generations if his people love him. And God goes on and he says, he is steadfast love. And you say, steadfast love. We've talked about this before, but it's everlasting love. It's never-ending love. It's love that never diminishes and love that can never be stronger than it is. God can't love you any more than he already loves you. And that never changes. It never gets weaker. You're never going to hear God say, well, I don't love you very much today. No, his love is steadfast. It's always the same. And lastly, he says, nobody knows him. God is knowable. It is not possible to obey God without knowledge of who he is. Proverbs 4 tells us to gain wisdom and with it, knowledge. Wisdom is the proper use of knowledge. You can't love God without knowing him. But just because you have knowledge doesn't mean you have wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. And so God tells us these things. But then he goes on in the very next sentence, and he says, these are the characteristics of God. And Hosea goes on, and he says, there's none of this in Israel. And in verse 2, God says what is in Israel. He says, there is swearing, there is lying, there is murder, there is stealing, and there is committing of adultery. And these are the five behaviors that God finds in the people of Israel when Hosea is writing to them. I want you to think about that. Do you recognize those five things that God calls out? Go back to Exodus 20. Read the Ten Commandments. These are the last five commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not murder. All five of these things that Israel is accused of doing by God are the very things that he has called them not to do. They're the very things that God said, I don't want you to do any of these things. They all have to do with relationships between each other. And Israel is guilty of them all. And I find it interesting that the people of Israel, to whom the law was given, are disobeying the very law that was supposed to separate them from the rest of the world. God gave them the law so that they would be different, and they're disobeying that very law and rejecting God. And here we see the very reason that God warned the people to stay away from the rest of the world. We need to seek God's knowledge and guidance in our lives and not the world's. And that's what God called his people to in the very first time when they entered into the promised land. He said, have nothing to do with those people, because if you do, you will forget me and you will turn away from me. And he actually says, if you go back and look in 1 Kings chapter 2, Moses reminds the people, if this is what you do, God will turn away from you. Hosea even goes on to say that because of this behavior of Israel, even the land mourns. Even the animals languish. Nature suffers because of the disobedience of God's people. Because of the way they behave and because of their sinful behavior, even the nature that God has created, his creation, suffers because of that sin. And then God goes further in his indictment of the people. And he says that these things are evidence of the people's sin, that the people's behavior is a result of their disobedience of God, and their disobedience is due to their lack of knowledge of God. And God states then that he holds the priests and the prophets accountable for that lack of knowledge. He doesn't attack a priest who would be telling the truth. But the problem was that the priests who were in Israel, the ones who were leading the people, were not telling them about God. They were the lazy priests. They were the priests who didn't know about God themselves, and therefore they weren't sharing that with God. They were the false prophets who were telling the people of Israel that God would look the other way for their sin, that it would be okay, they didn't have to worry about it. If you go back into 1 Chronicles chapter 11, we read that King Jeroboam of Israel was afraid that the people of Judah would leave and go to Israel to worship. This is a time right after the split of the nation, and there was a separation. And the people, he was afraid, would leave the area of Judah or of Israel and go to Judah to worship in Jerusalem, because that's where God called them to go. And so Jeroboam was afraid that all of his people would leave to go there. And so what he actually did was he set up his own worship system. his own way of worshiping God. He created high places in the nation where people could go to make their sacrifices so that they wouldn't go all the way to Jerusalem. And many of the priests of God left the area, and so Jeroboam picked priests. He said, you can be a priest then. And the priests that he picked to lead the people weren't of the line of Aaron, as they were called to be. They weren't even Levites, so they had no idea of the Levitical teachings that were there. They were just guys who he picked to be the priests. And so what do you think happened? Exactly what God warned them, that they turned away from God and began to teach things that were false, things that were untrue. Why? Because they didn't even know themselves. And so they began to teach whatever they felt like teaching. We see it when you get to the end of Judges. There's a statement in there that tells us so clearly. One of the last statements in the last book of Judges is, and there was no king in Israel, and each man did as he saw fit. Chaos. Because there was no king. They weren't seeking God as their king. They were doing whatever they felt like doing. And because of that, they were falling away from God, and they were rejecting him, and they were beginning to live the way they wanted to live. And as Evan pointed out last week, they even began to worship Baal. And he began to do the things that the people of the land were doing. The people that they were supposed to be avoiding were the people who were having an influence on them. And so these priests couldn't teach God because they didn't know God. And because they didn't know him, they were leading the people astray. And they did exactly what God had warned them. And they turned to evil, and they went so far as to worship other gods. And they lived in sin because God, because they believed in the gods of the world instead of the one God, Creator. They lived in sin, and they disobeyed him. And you know what? We have the same risk today as believers. If we listen to what the world tells us, if we listen to what the world offers us, we will live in their sin. God says, don't blame the people, though, because they're only following the example that they were being set. You know, Jesus even warned the people when he was on the earth. He warned the people against the Pharisees. Do you remember what he said? He said, listen to what the Pharisees teach, but don't follow their example. Because what they teach is God's word, but what they do is not. And so Jesus warns us to follow God's word, to follow what the scriptures tell us to do. And that doesn't give an excuse to the people for their sin. But God says, you're only following the example of the people who are leading you astray. So they're going to be held accountable. Guess what? That's true today. Teachers who teach false things about God are going to be held accountable by God for the things that they teach. So we need to be cautious that we listen to what the Word of God says and obey that. It is right and truthful teaching that leads to right and truthful behavior. His word is true and it's just. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, Paul tells us that all scripture is breathed out by God, that it all is from him. And the purpose, he says, is so that we can be complete and equipped for any good work. If we are not reading and studying God's word, then how can we be prepared? We must be in his word. We must be reading and studying and knowing what God has to say. If we want to, number one, be prepared, but also if we want to be able to avoid the lies of the evil one. Let's go on in verse 10. They shall eat but not be satisfied. They shall play the whore, but not multiply, because they have forsaken the Lord to cherish whoredom, wine, new wine, which take away the understanding. My people inquire of a piece of wood, and their walking staff gives them oracles. For a spirit of whoredom has led them astray, and they have left their God to play the whore. They sacrifice on the tops of the mountains and burn offerings on the hills, under oak and poplar and terebinth, because their shade is good. Therefore your daughters play the whore and your brides commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they play the whore, nor your brides when they commit adultery, for the men themselves go aside with prostitutes and sacrifice with cult prostitutes, and a people without understanding shall come to ruin. There, though you play the whore, O Israel, let not Judah become guilty. Enter not into Gilgal, nor go to Beth-Aven, and swear not as the Lord lives. Live a stubborn, like a stubborn heifer, Israel is stubborn. Can the Lord now feed them like a lamb in broad pasture? Ephraim is joined to idols, leave him alone. When their drink is gone, they give themselves to whoring. Their rulers dearly love shame. A wind has wrapped them in its wings, and they shall become ashamed because of their sacrifices. Hosea tells us that the evil behavior of the people and the idol worship that they're indulging in as their sin is all because of what they have been taught. Hosea says that people commit adultery because they don't have an understanding of God. The lack of understanding will lead to ruin, and they will be ruined by their sinful behavior. Hosea goes on to warn Judah, the southern kingdom, that Israel's fate is sure. It's going to happen. There is no question. There will be no turning back for Israel. And if Judah is not careful, they're going to fall into the same trap. And in fact, that's just what happened with Judah. But he warns them not to go to Gilgal or to Bethel, Beth-Aven, to sacrifice. He says, remain in Jerusalem. Continue with me. Hosea calls Israel a stubborn heifer. I love that description. When I was about 10 years old, we went back to my great aunt's farm. And she asked me to go in the field because one of the cows had gotten loose. And so she went over and stood by the gate and held the gate open. And she says, now, hit the cow, make it come over here. Now, you know, I have brothers who are bigger and stronger. I learned at an early age not to hit something bigger and stronger than you. So when she said, hit the cow, I said, I'm not so sure I'm going to hit the cow. So she traded with me. I stood and held the gate. She went over and whacked the cow, and the cow went through where it was supposed to go. But that's exactly how Hosea describes Israel, a stubborn cow that won't go where it's supposed to go because it wants to do what it wants to do. It wants to stay here, and it doesn't want to move. And that's the way Hosea describes him. And he goes on and he says, you know, God can't even lead you into green pastures. God can't lead you where he wants you to go because you're so stubborn and you don't want to go where he wants you to go. Will you even return to him? And Judah is warned to stay away from Israel and their sin and not to get caught up in their sin. And isn't that true today? Isn't that true for us? We want, when we look out into the world, we go, ooh, that's neat, right? Ooh, that looks pretty. Ooh, look at all that fun stuff. But God says, I don't want you over there because all those things lead to death. All those things are not what's best for you. I want what's best for you. Stay with me. I'll lead you to the green pasture. Remember Psalm 23? He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Who does that? Not the world, but God, who loves you and cares for you. And so Judah is warned that if they act the way Israel act, they will end up the same way. But Israel doesn't want to listen to God. They want to do the things that they want to do. In 1 Timothy 6, we're warned by Paul to stay away from false teachers, to stay away from the false teachings of the world, and to avoid them at all cost. And in the same way, Israel was being warned to stay away, that their false teaching was going to lead them to reject God. In chapter 5, it says, "Hear this, O priests. Pay attention, O house of Israel. Give ear, O house of the king, for the judgment is for you. For you have been a snare at Mizpah and a net upon Tabor. And the revolters have gone deep into slaughter. But I will discipline all of them. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you have played the whore. Israel is defiled. Their deeds do not permit them to return to their God. For the spirit of whoredom is within them, and they know not the Lord. The pride of Israel testifies to his face. Israel and Ephraim shall stumble in their guilt. Judah also shall stumble with them. With their flocks and herds they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn from them. They have dealt faithlessly with the Lord, for they have borne alien children, and now the new moon shall devour them with their fields. Blow the horn in Gibeah, the trumpet in Ramah. Sound the alarm at Beth-Aben. We follow you, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall become a desolation in the day of punishment among the tribes of Israel. I make known what is sure. The princes of Judah have become like those who move the landmark. Upon them I will pour out my wrath like water. Ephraim is oppressed, crushed in judgment, because he was determined to go after filth. But I am like a moth to Ephraim, and like dry rot to the house of Judah." God brings the viewpoint upon Israel and Judah. God now gives the judgment for Israel. He warns the priests to listen because God holds them responsible. They're a snare. They get in the way. They cause the problem. God says that he knows Israel and that their behavior isn't hidden from him. You know, as people, we think that if we do things in the dark or we do things when nobody's looking, that we'll get away with it. You ever seen little kids do this? "You can't see me now," right? If we close our eyes, God won't know what we did. God won't be able to see. But the fact is, God knows everything. He sees everything. There is nothing that escapes him. There will never be a day, ever, ever, that God will go, "Wow, I didn't see that coming." That never will happen, for God knows all. It is not hidden from him. And the reality is, because he sees everything, Hosea says the nation cannot even return to God because they have been disobedient to him so long. Now see, this isn't because God won't accept them back, because God loves to bring his people back. God wants for us to come to him. But because of their sinful behavior, because they have so long been in that, because they want that behavior, they won't come back to God. Their desire is not to be with him. God is faithful and he'll accept us. But sometimes people begin to live in their sin, and that sin prevents them from going to God. It says in here that their rulers dearly loved shame. The people who were leading them into that behavior because that's what they wanted. The people were prideful and would only continue to be sinful. Israel will stumble and take Judah with them, and sin is this way. You know, when we sin, we do one of two things. We either get on our knees and we ask for forgiveness, the way David did. Remember when David is confronted by Nathan, and what does he say? He instantly says, I've sinned against God and against you, and he gets on his knees. The other option is we be Saul. And I'll let you go and read in 1 Samuel 15 about Saul. But when Saul is confronted by his sin, he begins to point the finger. Oh, it was the people's fault. Oh, it was because you didn't get here on time, Samuel. Oh, it was because of this. Oh, it was because of that. I used to have a guy who taught me, and he said, remember, every time you point your finger, there are three more pointing back at you. And that's a very good lesson for us to remember. But the problem with Saul was he was rejecting the fact. Instead of getting on his knees, he pointed to others. And that's the way sin works in our life. And when we listen to the world and when we listen to the evil one, that's what he's going to teach us. Remember, God says, I desire obedience and not sacrifice. I used to think about, what does that mean? I desire obedience and not sacrifice. Sacrifice is when you offer something for your forgiveness, right? You sacrifice an animal. Christ sacrificed himself for us, but the sacrifice is for the forgiveness of the sin. What does God say? I desire obedience. Because if you obey in the first place, there's no need for a sacrifice. If we would obey God, we wouldn't sin. If we didn't sin, there wouldn't be a need for sacrifice. So he says, I desire obedience. Be obeying me in the first place, and the sacrifice will become unnecessary. Look at the last few verses here. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to the great king. But he is not able to cure you or heal your wound. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim, like a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear and go away. I will carry off, and no one shall rescue. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress earnestly seek me. When they find themselves in a place of need, Israel didn't go to God. They went to the king of Assyria. They went to the neighboring nations around them. They didn't seek out God. They sought out the world. They went to those who they thought would be able to help them. And God says, they can't help you. Only I can help you. Only I can forgive you. Only I can redeem you. Only I can deliver you. And you go to those who don't care about you. You go to those who hate you. You go to those who are opposed to you instead of coming to the very one who loves you with all his heart, who loves you with a steadfast love that will never be lessened. Today, we see the world doing the exact same thing. And we see people in churches being led astray. Instead of seeking God and trusting in him, they go to the world for help. Our tendency is to go to the world to get the answers. We look to guidance from the financial community, from the religious community, from the political community, from the judicial community, from the social community, but we don't go to the one who loves us, to God. We don't go to the one who died for us. What we should be doing is seeking our guidance from the one who created the universe, from the one who knows everything, from the one who has the answers, from the one who will lead us in the paths of righteousness. Not because he domineers us, but because he leads us as a shepherd leads their sheep. The only one who really knows everything is God. And so we should be going to him for all of our needs. The Israelites went to the political world. They made relationships with foreign lands and foreign leaders. They were led astray by them. Those were the people who hated them. We were talking the other night, on Tuesday night, and we were saying, the world hates us because they hated Jesus. And we call ourselves by his name. We call ourselves ones belonging to Christ. And so it shouldn't surprise us that the world who hates Jesus would hate us also. So why would you go to people who hate you for guidance and protection, when instead we should go to the one who loves us, who died for us, who paid the price so we could spend eternity with him? We should be going to God for all of our strength, for all of our understanding, for all of our guidance. There is no better place than to open God's word and to seek him. No matter, you know, it's interesting because you don't open the, at least I haven't. I haven't opened the Bible yet and said, and started reading and seen a list that says, Rick, today here are the things I would like you to do. That's not the way God's word is. But you know what? Whenever I read his word, he gives me guidance on how I should behave, on how I should treat other people, on how I should act, on what I should seek after, on what should be important in my life, on what things I should long for. You know, one of the things that he says to long for is his wisdom and his knowledge. He says you should look for that as you would gold or silver, because that is where real wealth is in knowledge of God and in relationship with him. Psalm 121:1 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that we can come together, that we have the freedom to come here and have church, that we have the time to gather together to sing songs of praise to you, to remember our Savior Jesus, to read your word, and to hear about it. Father, I pray that you will open us in our hearts. Let us hear your word. Let us go home and meditate upon it. Let us think about it and let it do what you want it to in our lives, to change us. God, you tell us to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds in you. Father, your word does that. You do that in us. And so we ask that you would do that today. Do that this week. Give us a boldness to go into the world and to share the gospel. Father, let us be the people you want us to be. Let us seek you always and not the things of the world. For the world is filled with lies. The world is filled with half-truths. The world will only lead us away from you, because the world is run by the evil one who hates you and wants nothing but to destroy your people. And so, Father, we pray that you will give us guidance and strength and lead us to be the people you've called us to be. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.